The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. Welcome to the 100th edition of the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, we have an action-packed hour show tonight with the Eagles broadcasting legend Merle Reese, Comcast 76ers insider D. Lineham to talk Allen Iverson's Hall of Fame induction this weekend, and Fred Hugo with our new Fred and Butter segment handicapping the NFC East games, and of course we'll be making our Eagles season predictions. And we've got some game day decisions regarding Seth Joyner as well. Everything is fluid, my friend, like trading your starting quarterback a week before the opener.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's get it right out of the way here. We were supposed to have Seth Joyner, the former Pro Bowl linebacker, join us live, but a couple of things happened. He is traveling, and his flight got moved up today, so that made it impossible for him to join us live. So he and I talked a little over an hour ago, and I was going to record a little segment with him, but unfortunately, my recording app decided to crap out, so it didn't happen. The good news is Seth will be back with us real soon, live, and we'll tell you about that later in the show. And as you noted, we have lots of other stuff, lots of cool stuff lined up for everyone this evening on this, our 100th show.
Well, like we say, game day decisions, and we're going to get to that whole quarterback thing shortly, but let's let our listeners know that we will have our Carl's Cards and Collectibles trivia question back again tonight, right about 7:29 or so. We will be giving away a signed 8x10 color photo of Eagles legend Harold Carmichael that will be signed this Saturday at Carl's Cards in Havertown, PA. So write this number down so you're ready. Our shopforkisses.org phone line is 929-477-2855. That's 929-477-2855. Well, Chet, let's talk about the Bradford trade, and before we get to our conversation with Merle, and I got to ask you, what were you thinking when it all went down, and now that you've had a couple days to chew on it, how do you feel about turning the keys over to the rookie, the number two pick, Carson Wentz, for game one?
Oh, man, do I like it? Absolutely. Is it the smart thing to do to a guy who barely played in the preseason and has been limited to, not much in practice up until just a couple of days ago? Probably not. But there's a whole lot more excitement now, for sure, about watching Wentz and what he has to offer than there would have been had Doug and Howie made the decision to go with Chase Daniel, I can tell you that. It's going to be a very interesting season. I think you'll agree with me on that front.
Oh, I absolutely do, and you know what? I could not be more excited from how we started. As we sat here at this time last year getting ready for the opener, and you knew I just wasn't ever on board with that whole regime and how that thing was going and trades that had been made and all that, and here we are. I'm excited. I saw Carson Wentz in that first preseason game against Tampa Bay. I just like the way the kid looks. We heard Fran Duffy talk about Wentz again last week in your highlight reel. Fran was real high on him before just when they picked him. I'm excited that the Eagles are willing to. The kid's going to make mistakes just like Winston did and Mariota did as young kids, but he's going to grow and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him. I mean, he's got some concerns, obviously, the inexperience, the offensive line, whatnot, the wide receivers not being the best in the world, but it's going to be fun. And it's nice that they start off with a team that's not really that good. Cleveland probably one of the worst teams in the league, and that doesn't mean it's going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's going to be a close game. We'll talk about that later on. We'll make our predictions, of course. But, yeah, I want to see this kid develop, and I think that, you know, assuming he stays healthy, I think from week 1 to week 15 or 16 or 17, you're going to see a guy make a lot of progress and get a lot of people excited for what the future holds. At least I hope that's what happens.
Well, and I'm along the same lines. I think that they have a chance to actually have a quarterback that can be great, not good, not playoff good, but can actually develop into somebody that can be great. How cool would that be?
Oh, that would be terrific. I mean, you know, we had the great years with Donovan, and since then it's been kind of a revolving door. You know, you see flashes from Michael Vick. You saw that one great year from Nick Foles, who's, you know, now struggling to stay in the league. Let's hope that Carson Wentz is the real deal. Unfortunately, as, you know, we'll talk, there are lots of other problems on this team. So we're going to find out how good a coach Doug Peterson is and how much talent there is on this squad as we watch these guys play games that count.
Well, they got to stay healthy. We know. I think they're going to be better up front with the acquisition of Brooks, and it looks like Lane Johnson has at least survived week one.
Yeah.
He's certainly an important part of this team. But I think you're going to see a lot of the tight ends. I think you're going to see a pretty conservative game plan early on. Not put the kid in position to make too many mistakes. Let the defense take care of business. And the running backs and the wide receivers need to step up. The wide receivers have to be good, and Matthews has to stay healthy in the backfield as a running back.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was talking to a guy about 3 weeks ago, a guy who I just met, actually. It was at that 97.5 Fantasy Fest, and we had a nice talk about football and about the Eagles. And I was not overly optimistic, and that, of course, is when, you know, Sam Bradford was going to be the quarterback, and I didn't think that could be any better than 8-8. But this guy was saying to me, you know, they were 7-9 last year, and he says, look at every position. Are they any worse at any position this year? And we went through it. Offensive line, no, they're probably a little better. Running backs, I don't think they're any worse than they were last year. I mean, Murray's gone, but really, what did he contribute? The tight ends, I think, are going to be even better with Ertz having another year of experience. The wide receivers, not great last year, probably not great this year, but I think they're going to be better than they were last year. And I think the defense is definitely going to be better under Jim Schwartz, although there are some concerns about the linebacking crew and the lack of depth there. So, you know, this guy made a point. Are they any worse at any position than they were last year? Probably not. So, and that was before the Bradford deal, of course, and throwing Wentz into the fire. So, you know, maybe that guy had a point that they should be right around where they were last year, at any rate, 7-9. And who knows, if Wentz does develop more quickly than you could expect, maybe they'll even do better. We'll see.
Yeah, well, and I'll take that one step further. And I don't want to sound like I'm piling on, but I probably am piling on a little bit. They're going to be better coached. That coach and that staff last year was not good. And
yep,
it played its way, it played itself out. Now, maybe I'm giving too much credit to a guy who hasn't coached a real game yet, but I don't think he can be worse than what we had.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Chip left a lot to be desired, especially in year three after all the moves. We don't know how good a head coach Doug Peterson is, but we're going to find out. One concern I have, and this was a problem last year too, is just the turnover. There were so many new faces last year. I think that played into some of the problems that they had. And now again this year, with Howie cleaning house, getting rid of most of Chip's guys, and you know, making some other moves as well, there's a lot of new guys who have to learn how to play together and play under new coaches. And that can sometimes take time. So, boy, it may take a while to develop. It may take a year or two to develop. But let's not get our hopes up, even if they win game one and look impressively, because there's going to be a lot of ups and downs this season. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting year. It may not be a playoff year, but it's going to be a fun season to watch. That is for sure.
Can't wait to get it kicked off. And good that it's going to be against the Browns. And as you said, you know, it's not a game to get too overly hyped up about if they win. Which we'll get to that a little later, but I certainly will go out on a limb and think they are going to win that game. But I think I think you're looking for steps forward, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I am too. Sunday at 1 o'clock, can't get here soon enough. And a lot of great games on the week one schedule. We're going to talk about some of those later on. And, you know, maybe you win week one, then you go into Chicago with a chance to win week two and get the fans a little bit excited. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's going to be an interesting season. I can't wait to see these guys. I can't wait to see the wide receivers, too. You know, Doriel Green-Beckham is such a big target. And, you know, hopefully he's got his head on his shoulders right, and the change of scenery will do him good. Jordan Matthews, let's hope that he continues to develop. And as you said, the offensive line, you got concerns there about the injury problems and Jason Peters, you know, going down as often as he did last year. Got to keep him healthy for, you know, the bulk of the season. And who knows what's going on with Lane Johnson. I hope they don't pull something crazy and, you know, suspend him on Friday afternoon or something for 10 games. You should know by now. I don't know why it has taken a month to figure out whether he should be suspended or not.
Right, right. Well, hey, you had a chance to sit down with Eagles broadcast legend Merrill Reese this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Merrill, as you know, entering his 40th season as Eagles announcer, he took over late in 1977. And then he got the word also recently that he'll be going into the Eagles Hall of Fame in November. So we talked about that. And I'm going to be upfront about it. This is a recorded interview. And here's what happened. We talked late last week, and a good chunk of what he was talking about, he was referring to Sam Bradford as the Eagles quarterback, as we all thought was going to be the case. And then lo and behold, Saturday morning happens. Bradford is gone. Carson Wentz is the new game one starter. So I called Merrill back on Tuesday. I said, hey, Merrill, you got a couple of minutes for me? So, yeah, he knew what I was calling about. And, yeah, we redid that part of the interview. So, yeah, just so everybody's clear, you might hear a slight difference in the sound quality because his talk about Carson Wentz was a new addition to the interview. But it was great to talk to Merrill. The guy is just so sharp and so with it, and he's got his finger on the pulse. And at 74 years old, he is as busy as you could possibly be. I mean, he's talking to all sorts of media people, getting ready for the preseason games and now the regular season. He does shows during the week. He runs a radio station. And, of course, he's going into the Eagles Hall of Fame in November. So a busy, busy guy is Merrill Reese.
All right. Well, let's play that interview. Let's hear what Merrill had to say, and then we'll get back on it when we're through.
This is Jim Chesko, and I'm happy to welcome back to Philly Press Box Radio the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese. Hi, Merrill.
Hi, Jim.
So you're entering your 40th year as radio play-by-play man for the Birds. When you took over for the late Charlie Swift in the latter part of the 1977 season, did you ever think you'd still be doing it all these years later?
You know what? I never thought about it. Never even spent one moment of saying how long I would be doing it. As far as I was concerned, it was the ultimate job, and I wanted to do it forever, and I still feel that way.
Hey, I've been on site for a few of your weekly radio shows at various Philly area bars and restaurants the last 2 years, and you said something at one of them last year that took me by surprise. You said you still get nervous before going on the air on Sundays before an Eagles game. Seriously?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. I wake up on a Sunday morning, and I can feel the butterflies right away. Absolutely feel it all the time, right up until the microphone is actually open that I go on the air. And then it all goes away, and I have fun for the next 3 or 4 hours. But up until broadcast, I can feel it.
Merrill, we've had Mark Eckel on Philly Press Box Radio several times, and in his most recent visit a couple of weeks ago, he told us he has a chapter in his brand-new book about that 1988 Eagles-Bears playoff game, and he said you told him about the challenge that you guys faced in trying to broadcast the Fog Bowl.
Well, it was... It was more than a challenge. It was an exercise in creativity because we saw nothing. If you were to look into a white wall, that is what we saw. Absolutely nothing. So what happened was in the second half, the public address announcer went down on the field with a wireless microphone and started talking about downs and distances and completions and incompletions and yards gained. And I had to put it together and piece it together. So I was trying to bring some humor to it. I said I knew Randall Cunningham was having trouble when he came out of the huddle led by a German Shepherd.
Oh, man. So many memorable calls you made over the years, including the first miracle at the Meadowlands in 1978, all of Randall Cunningham's many highlight plays, the two fourth down stops against the Cowboys. They stopped him again. And I know you said recently that, in fact, you told us last year on Philly Press Box Radio, that one game and one play that would stand out in your mind would be that one 6 years ago, the new miracle at the Meadowlands, when the Eagles battled back and beat the Giants 38-31 on that DeSean Jackson punt return at the very end. But since that's your favorite, I need another one. What is your second favorite, perhaps?
Oh, that's tough. It would probably be Wilbur Montgomery exploding on the right side against the Dallas Cowboys on January 11th, 1981, because this team had been down for so long, and we knew even early in that game that they were going to the Super Bowl, when you could feel Veterans Stadium rock as Wilbur went between Jerry Sizemore and Woody Peoples and ran it for the touchdown. So I guess that would be number two.
Good stuff. Hey, let's turn our attention to this year's Eagles squad, Merrill. Last weekend, of course, the Birds traded Sam Bradford to the Vikings, and that means we're going to see Carson Wentz a whole lot sooner than we had expected. In fact, he has been named the starter for Week 1 against Cleveland. What does this trade do to the outlook for this year's Eagles team?
Jim, perhaps you could tell me. I haven't a clue. To be absolutely honest with you, I know that I've seen Carson Wentz, and I think very highly of him. I think he's a gifted young player. I was very impressed with the 29 snaps I saw in the first preseason game. But he is a rookie quarterback, and he is going into his first NFL game. So to be able to evaluate that on a basis of an entire season and how it's going to affect the record is very, very difficult. I will say this. He is not a deer in the headlights. He believes in himself. He goes out there, and he appears to be having fun. So that's good. That's a plus. And I will also say history shows us there have been rookie quarterbacks like Joe Flacco and RG3 and Andrew Luck who have gone into situations and shepherded teams to the playoffs in their rookie year. So it's not out of the question, but there is a lot that remains to be seen starting this Sunday.
Now, I know you like what Greg Lewis brings to the team as receivers coach, but I'll tell you, this wide receiver core is much maligned. There's a lot of concern about them. Are these receivers going to get it done this year?
We'll see. We will see. Going in, it certainly wouldn't be listed as their strongest area. However, I think Jordan Matthews is exceptionally good. Here's a guy in the second year last year who caught 85 balls. Josh Huff has shown some sparks during the preseason, and maybe this is his year. And I love the red zone capabilities of Dorial Green-Beckham. We saw that in Indianapolis, and when I saw that, I said, boy, that hasn't happened since a guy by the name of Harold Carmichael was here. So now I'm not trying to go overboard and tell you that we have Harold Carmichael back or tell you that this is going to be a 2016 version of Air Corio or the greatest show on turf. But I think they can be okay. And you know what? Don't write off Nelson Aguilar just yet. He's struggled. There's no doubt about that. But in his rookie year, my good friend Michael Anthony Quick had all of 10 receptions and then went on to an amazing career. So maybe we need a little more patience with Aguilar. This season should prove to be revealing as to what he really is. But I just wouldn't write him off quite yet. Let's see what happens.
What are your initial impressions of the new head coach, Doug Peterson?
Well, I've known Doug for 16 years, and he's bright, and he knows the game, and the players like him, and his coaches respect him. I think he has the makings of a very good coach. But you never can really evaluate a coach until he is under the gun in a regular season game, and he's called on to make critical decisions at various junctures of the game. And you have to wait and see how that occurs, and also keep in mind that he is a first-time head coach, you know, on this level, and there are growing pains that he will go through and every coach goes through. But I have seen coordinators come to teams that become great successes, and I have seen others that have failed. I've seen college coaches like Jimmy Johnson go to Dallas and become a great, great NFL coach with multiple Super Bowls, and I've seen others, no names at the moment, go in, and things did not end up well.
Speaking of coordinators, I love what Jim Schwartz and the defense have done this preseason anyway. Are you excited about watching this defense during the regular season?
They do look good in the preseason, but Jim Schwartz said the last time he looked, the preseason division results do not factor into any tiebreakers for the playoffs. That's the way he put it. And so let's wait and see. But I think, yeah, he's certainly bright, and he certainly has some talent. I think he has one of the great defensive linemen in the league in Fletcher Cox. I think he's got better safeties this year. He's got better corners. I think they have some real talent.
All right, Merrill. This November, you, along with Jeremiah Trotter, will be inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame. What does that honor mean to you?
Everything. Everything. It's always wonderful to be recognized, to feel that your work has been accepted and applauded. And I just think I'm the most fortunate person in the world because I broadcast the games of the team that I grew up loving. I'm not a transplant. And I broadcast to the most knowledgeable, loyal, and passionate audience in the National Football League. These people care. And I really identify with them, and I look forward to communicating with them every single week.
Well, certainly a well-deserved and overdue, if you ask me, honor, Merrill, to go into the Eagles Hall of Fame this fall. While you were speaking there, by the way, I had this thought. You've been doing this job so long and, you know, working in radio or related fields. Have you ever had a job in your adult life not related to radio?
No. I mean, I growing up as a college student, I mean, when I first came out of college, I was a naval officer, so I guess that's not exactly related to broadcasting, but I was a public affairs officer. Then I did to supplement my very meager broadcasting income as a young man. I was a tennis pro. I gave tennis lessons for $7 a half hour. I did that during the summertime in college. 1 year I worked at a supermarket, rounding up the carts in the parking lot and bringing them back. Another time I demonstrated magic tricks on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. I worked as a waiter at a busboy and then a waiter at a hotel in Atlantic City and dumped a tray of food on the Miss America contestants. I was not very good at that. So I've done a lot of things, growing up, the normal kids. But as a professional, from post-military service on, it's been really all broadcasting.
Well, I'd still like to hit you up for one of those $7 tennis lessons. But I think you made the right choice as far as broadcasting. All right, Merrill, we are just about out of time, so let's finish up with a real quick game of Fast Five. Here we go.
Sure.
First, tell me one or two players who, in your view, could be pleasant surprises for the Eagles this season.
Dorio Green-Beckham. I think he is one. And Nolan Carroll.
Number two, your broadcast partner in the past 18 seasons has been the great ex-wide receiver Mike Quick. Tell us something about Mike Quick that most fans wouldn't know.
Mike Quick is also an outstanding golfer. He loves the game and plays extremely well, and that is a sport that we enjoy playing together very often. We love our golf, and Mike is very, very good at it.
Number three, what is your favorite road team stadium to visit?
Easy. Easy. Let me ask you, Jim, what do you think it is?
I would guess that place out in Green Bay, Lambeau Field.
You've got it. Lambeau Field. You go there and you can envision Lombardi standing on the sideline. That would be the place.
That's on my bucket list for sure, getting to Green Bay. Hey, Merrill, you joined Twitter over the summer. How are you enjoying the whole tweeting thing?
Twitter is fun. It's a way of communicating with the fans, and I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
All right, finally, you told me last year, Merrill, your favorite football movie is Everybody's All-American, a fine choice. So name another of your favorite sports movies, any sport.
Bagger Vance.
Ah.
Love Bagger Vance, which, of course, is a golf movie. And I also, since I named one golf movie, I'll name another, and that was The Greatest Game Ever Played, about the 1913 U.S. Open at the country club of Brookline, Massachusetts.
Since you like golf, maybe for comedies, Caddyshack?
No. That would not be one of my favorites.
Okay. Merrill, congratulations again on your 40th year as the voice of the Eagles and on your induction this fall into the Eagles Hall of Fame. Great talking with you again.
Nice speaking with you, Jim. Thank you so much.
Are you there, Bill? Bill, have we lost you? Okay. Now we'll
you
wait
got
for Bill
back?
To rejoin us. There you are. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, I got to take myself off of mute. Hey, one of my biggest takeaways right there, I think, is as Merle went down the list of positions and as we were saying in our opening, which ones he thought were upgrades. And I think he pretty much went right down the list, and he thinks there's a whole lot of upgrades. as we do. And I hope he is right on Green Beckham. I think that's a key acquisition here right now.
Oh, it is, man. I don't know what Tennessee was thinking. I mean, that guy looks like a player. He's got the size. He's got decent speed. You know, a guy who's 6'5", who can run, he can be a very, very good wide receiver and a nice complement to Jordan Matthews. So, boy, I hope that works out because it'll be nice to have a couple of weapons for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, well, I think what Tennessee was thinking is the guy had a whole lot of baggage, and then he came to camp unprepared and out of shape and not ready to go. And, you know, they just had enough of that. And, you know, maybe this new scenery and the fact that the guy has a chance to be a go-to guy and be on the field all the time. And, you know, it's a lot can be said for that. And maybe he likes more who he's playing for, you know, from a coach's standpoint and the whole team atmosphere.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. I mean, hopefully this will be a Chris Carter situation where, you know, Carter went from the Eagles to the Vikings and had a great career. Maybe this guy, DGB, will turn his career around with this move. We shall see.
Yeah. Well, I want to hitch up on one more thing before we move on from the Eagles. Howie Roseman, you know, Howie has been one busy, busy guy. And he's added, you know, I looked this up, and he added three players that he signed that could have become free agents, which was Sam Bradford, who we've now turned into a number one pick, Vinnie Curry, and Nolan Carroll, who both look like they're going to be major contributors. He signed 10 free agents along the way. Brandon Brooks being one of those. Nigel Branham is going to be a starter. Rodney McLeod and Leotis McKelvin are going to be starters. It looks like, well, let me ask you, what's your grade for Howie Roseman at this point?
Well, we can't really give him a grade for another couple of years. We see how all these guys pan out. But as far as on paper, you got to give him at least a B+, and I'm going to say A-. I like the great majority of what he's done. So, boy, if it all works out, he's looking pretty good. I was a little disappointed in the trade of Eric Rowe, to be honest. I know he didn't seem to be a Jim Schwartz guy. I know we're getting back a fourth-round pick, which could be a third based on playing time or whatever, but I think they may have given up on Eric Rowe too soon. What do you think?
Well, I think he was going to get cut. I really do. I saw him in the Tampa Bay game after reading that he had not been having a good camp. I saw him live, and he did not have a good game that night.
Yeah.
And I just don't think whether – whatever the deal was, you know, it doesn't make him necessarily a bad player. Whether he wasn't understanding the scheme, things weren't working out, you know, whatever the reason was, I don't think Eric Rowe had a future here. And I think there was a chance that he was going to get cut, and they ended up getting a fourth round pick for him.
Yeah. So when you look at it that way, you're lucky to get something back in return and a decent mid round pick maybe at that. So, you know, all the best to Eric. We'll see what happens. But getting back to Howie, boy, you know, you hear the expression often, there aren't many trades in the NFL. Well, not with Howie Roseman. He's been the busiest GM during his reign of any as far as making trades. The guy loves to make deals, it seems.
Yeah, and I guess as long as they're good deals, his predecessor liked to make a lot of deals too, and he dismantled a football team in a very short time. So
yeah.
Hopefully these are good deals compared to the other deals that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Speaking of his predecessor, did you catch Merrill's little dig in there? He mentioned college coaches who, you know, didn't have great success at the pro. I think that was a little Chip Kelly shot right there.
I was going to say I had nothing to do with that.
No. Oh, by the way, speaking of Merrill, I lost a little bit of respect for him at the end when he said Caddyshack is not among his favorites. How can you be a sports fan or a movie fan and not like Caddyshack? Come on, Merrill.
I think maybe he takes his golf too serious. If he can't laugh
yeah.
at Caddyshack, he must be too serious of a golfer.
That's it. He is a pretty serious golfer from what I understand.
Right. Hey, one last topic before we get to trivia. Preseason football. Tony Romo is down. Teddy Bridgewater is down. Quarterbacks getting hurt in meaningless football games. What is your take on that? And should they or can they do anything about it? Or is it just, it is what it is. Injuries happen.
Well, I think
it's the latter. It is what it is. You have to have some preseason games. And, you know, the funny thing is, if we had time, I wanted to ask Vince Papale about it a few weeks ago. I was going to ask Merrill about it, but didn't have really time for that. I wanted to talk about the fact that back in the early and mid-70s, they used to play 6 preseason games and 14 regular season games, which is bizarre. I mean, now it's down to 4 preseason games, which is still too much in the minds of most people. So what is the optimum amount? I think the Philly Inquirer, the Sunday Inquirer a few weeks ago, did a little poll on that. And most people thought that 2 would be the perfect number. 2 preseason games and then get to the regular season. And that doesn't necessarily mean expand the regular season to 18 games, which I'd be opposed to. Keep it at 16, but only play 2 preseason games. You know, maybe you can do 1 controlled scrimmage or something, and then 2 preseason games, and that's it. Get ready for the season. Because, yeah, you want to cut down on the injuries, and nobody wants to see these preseason games anyway.
Yeah, and honestly, I want to see Tony Romo. And I want to see Teddy Bridgewater. I want to see the best players that teams have to offer be out on the field. I certainly want to beat the Dallas Cowboys. That goes without saying. And if it helps us to not have Romo in there, you know, that's one thing. But I want to see the best players. And these possible career-ending injuries for these guys, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. But to the flip side of that, I think you have to have some preseason games so you can make decisions on guys like Eric Rowe. You just don't need to lose your starting quarterback doing it.
Exactly. So maybe cut it down to 3 preseason games, see how that goes. And by the way, getting back to Bridgewater, if I'm not mistaken, he was hurt in just a practice, so that wasn't even in a preseason game. And injuries are going to happen. It's just the nature of the sport. You try to minimize it as best you can, but it's going to happen. That's just life in football.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, hey, let's get to our trivia question. Our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. As mentioned, we'll be giving away a signed 8x10 color photo courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles of Eagles legend Harold Carmichael that will be signed this Saturday at Carl's Cards to the first person that can call and correctly answer our trivia question. Here we go. In 1973, Harold Carmichael led the NFL in receptions and reception yardage with 67 catches for 1,116 yards. The Eagles quarterback that year led the NFL in 6 offensive categories, including passing yards. Can you name him? Chet, you know that one?
Easy one. Another soft toss.
Is that another soft toss?
Well, if you're an old guy like us, it is, yeah.
Okay. Let's read it again real quick. In 1973, Harold Carmichael led the NFL in receptions and reception yardage with 67 catches for 1,116 yards. The Eagles quarterback that year led the NFL in 6 offensive categories, including passing yards. Can you name him? All right. Let's thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, Chet. Do we have a caller already for a trivia answer, possibly?
I believe we do. Let's go to the phones and see who we have. We're going to the phones. Who do we have on Philly Press Box Radio with us?
This would be Snarky Danny.
Jeez.
Not Snarky Danny.
Yep, that would be me, and I'll have to explain that one later.
All right. Go ahead. What you got for us?
Or better yet, so you'll have to ask my wife about that when you ever run into her. How about that?
All right. You have a trivia answer for us?
I do. That would be Roman Gabriel.
Roman Gabriel it is. Probably Gabriel it is. We got a winner, Danny Bevins.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, I was going to have a second part to that trivia question. Roman Gabriel did not win the MVP that year, even though he led the league in all those categories. And the second part of the question was, who was the MVP? Which,
of the league?
Yep, yep. If you thought about that, it's actually pretty easy. But it was not an Eagle, so I left that one out, left that part of it out.
Who was it?
Hmm.
It would have been that O.J. Simpson.
O.J.
With his 2,000 yards rushing in 1973.
That was a pretty good year. That was a good year. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Danny. Well, we appreciate you calling in and hanging around with us.
Hey, absolutely. It was a great show. I love the interview with Merle. Always love to hear Merle Reese talk about the Eagles. That's great.
You bet.
He is a legend.
All right. All right, Danny. Appreciate it. We'll get with Carl, and we'll get him to get that prize out to you.
All right. Go Eagles. Go Carson Wentz.
All right.
You got it.
You.
Thanks, Danny.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, Chet, as you know, Allen Iverson will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame this Friday night, and the group of three that will be inducting him will be Julius Erving, Larry Brown, and John Thompson. Not a shabby group of three right there. And as we spoke many times on this show, you were in AI's corner from the start as a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no question about it, Bill. I know he rubbed some people the wrong way with the whole hip-hop look and attitude. We're talking about practice rant, what have you. But the guy was one hell of a player, a player who, despite being vertically challenged in terms of life in the NBA, was a tremendous player who really carried that 2001 Sixers team to the finals, winning an MVP in the process. Now, I think we all knew he would be a Hall of Famer, and, yeah, I'm glad he was selected as a first ballot guy. Just a great career and a great Sixer, so way to go, AI.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see how his speech will go, his induction, because, you know, I think we've seen this guy that kind of looks like he's a little bit rough around the edges, that has broken down and cried many times in his speeches and things like that, very heartfelt kind of guy. So I'm kind of excited to see how that comes out on Friday.
Yeah, I've seen some of the interviews, you know, over the past 6 months or whatever since he was named to be going into the Hall. And you could tell the guy has matured a little bit in retirement. And he's looking back fondly now on his great career. And I think he misses the game, but he also respects the game even more than he did when he was playing. So that's good to see. I mean, sometimes it takes a while for people to grow up. I still haven't done it, but I think AI is going up now and definitely maturing a little bit.
Well, hey, you had a chance to sit down with another real AI fan, Comcast Sportsnet 76er insider D. Lineham. What did D have to say?
D was a big AI fan. You know that. So I decided I had to talk to her to get her view on everything. And she's going to be going up to Springfield this week. So I talked to D the other day. So you want to hear what she had to say?
Certainly.
Let's do it.
Talking with Comcast Sportsnet's D. Lineham about Friday's Basketball Hall of Fame inductions, including, of course, the Sixers' Allen Iverson. D., you were in Philly for the great majority of AI's career. At maybe 6 feet, what made him so special?
I think, obviously, Chet, his extreme talent, but I think it was also the fact that he was 6 foot, probably didn't even weigh 160 pounds, and he was so fearless attacking the rim. You know, Mark Zumoff used to say, going in the weight room, or, you know, it was a little guy against the Giants. And there were plenty of people who would come into the league who were bigger than him, who attacked the rim early in their careers and realized they didn't want to get beat up like that anymore and develop more of an outside game. And I think part of what was so charismatic about the way Allen played is just that he was always fearless, tough, and always attacking.
Now, career averages of 26.7 points and 6.2 assists. Other than the MVP season in 2001 and the run to the finals that year, any other special memories of Allen?
Oh, I think there's a lot of them. I mean, obviously the run in 2001 and his back and forth 50-point games with Vince Carter, those stand out. I think a game against Washington where he scored a layup to win the game and then ran into the crowd on the sideline there. it's a very, you know, amazing visual that I always remember. And I personally, when he came back with Denver and kissed the logo, I thought that was pretty cool because it was before the game ever started. So it wasn't a televised moment per se, but if you were there, it was really, really cool. And then I thought when the jersey got raised to the rafters a couple of years ago, I thought he was great in talking to the crowd, and he captured his career really, really well that night. And I hope to have a similar moment Friday when he goes into the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Mass.
All great memories for sure. Now, Dee, as a reporter, you're supposed to be objective and unbiased, but admit it, you were rooting for AI to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, I think he deserved it. I don't think, at that point, it's really rooting isn't going to do anything for it, but I do think that he deserved it. And the people who didn't, you know, who questioned it, thought really was about his shooting percentage, which wasn't, you know, as high as some people would like. But I think when you look at the other numbers, to have a career average of over 26 points is, you know, amazing. And people don't give him enough credit for the 6 assists he averaged for his career as well. So I think the best way I would say he is a deserving first ballot Hall of Famer.
And finally, Dee, among the other inductees this year, one of those giants that AI went up against, Shaquille O'Neal. You a Shaq fan?
I am, and I do. It brings back, obviously, the 2001 memories of the finals. And actually, it wasn't until I was reading up, because I am going up there, I had forgotten how dominant that Lakers team had been in the postseason. It was like no other. And Shaq was a big, big reason for that. But I remember that game one, and I believe he had 48. Maybe Allen had 40. They both had monster games. And for me, Yao Ming, I was there when he got drafted. I was in Beijing, so I'm kind of interested in saying hello to Yao Ming again, too.
All right. Dee, have fun in Springfield, and thanks for visiting Philly Press Box Radio once again to talk about Allen Iverson and the Hall of Fame. We'll have you on again, I hope, in October about what should be an extremely fun 76ers season.
Absolutely, Chet. Thank you.
Wait, Chet, are you going to be glued to your TV watching those inductions and seeing what AI is all about, or is that backseat for you?
That's more of a backseat thing. I'll definitely see the highlights, but I'm probably not going to be glued to the set to see it. So, I am interested, but I'm not going to be planning my Friday evening around it. I know that.
All right. Well, hey, let's get back to football and the opening weekend of the NFL season. We're unveiling a new segment to our show called Fred and Butter Time. Each week, Fred Hugo will be joining us to provide a bit of an in-depth breakdown of the upcoming Eagles game, along with a look at the Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins games. And then, Jet, once the season gets going, we may expand that out a little bit to cover other big games, big matchups as they come along. But Fred will be making his predictions, and Chet, you will pick a winner, and so will I. We'll keep a little running total throughout the year, and certainly our listeners can chime in at any time on Facebook, pick their winners as well. And, you know, the fun thing, Chet, is going to be, we can have a little bragging rights out of this and see who's really on the stick and who's not. So, Fred, welcome to the show. And are you ready and up for this for about 22 straight weeks?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the 22 weeks. Thanks for letting me be a part of the show. And I'm just glad football is back.
Me too. It certainly is. Well, let's get started, Fred, with the Browns at the Eagles. We'll follow that with the Giants at the Cowboys. And last we'll do we'll have you do the Steelers and the Redskins, and then between each one, we'll take a break, and Chet can make his pick, I'll make my pick, and we'll take it from there. Have at it, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Well, you got the Browns and Eagles. The Browns come into the link 4-point underdog, and both squads have similar circumstances offensively, well, really the whole team all the way around. You have new coaching staffs coming in and a brand-new quarterback. Starting with the Browns, you have RG3, who, I don't know, he had a good rookie year. That was about it. So he's trying to rewrite his career. And then you have that offense with Hugh Jackson coming in, who's supposedly a quarterback guru. I don't see in this game, I just don't see the Browns being able to move the ball offensively, even with the new regime coming in. They really have no offensive firepower. It's really going to come down to their offensive line against the Eagles' defensive line, and I think it's an extreme advantage. The Eagles' offensive line is going to dominate. The only offense you'll probably see from the Browns is possibly through the tight end, Gary Barnage, or maybe the running back out of the backfield, Duke Johnson. He had about 60 catches last year. So that's the only offense I can really see for the Browns. As far as the Eagles go, you have a rookie quarterback coming in against a defense that's really not that good. They have a terrible run defense, the Browns, and their defensive secondary is, you could say, average, but I would go below average. So I think the Eagles will focus on running the ball. Ryan Matthews will get about 100 yards rushing. Carson Wentz will do okay. I could see him throwing a touchdown pass, maybe a couple interceptions, but low-scoring game. I could see the Eagles pulling this out 17-10.
17-10. Chet, what do you think? Browns minus four.
You know, I'm thinking it's going to be a pretty close game. It's going to be perhaps an ugly game. Wentz is not going to go out there and look, you know, like Joe Montana in his first start. As I said earlier, a lot of questions about this Eagles team, some weak spots. I do think they pull it out, but don't cover. Eagles 20, Browns 17.
Okay. Well, I'm going the other way. I'm going Carson Wentz is going to be outstanding. He's going to stretch the field a little bit. He's going to keep the ball very conservative, throw the ball around. I do agree that Matthews or a combination of running backs is going to gain some pretty serious yardage on the ground, and I think the Eagles' defense will be stellar. I'm going 27-10 Eagles.
27-10, wow. That would be nice.
27-10. I don't know that I'll say
that
next week.
Mark it down.
But I like them this week. I did mark it down.
All right.
Okay. Fred, what did you say? 17-10?
17-10, yes.
17-10. All right. Hey, a game I'm looking forward to, which I look forward to every year, Giants at the Cowboys. I think this is going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, well, down at Big D, the Cowboys are going to start the season without Tony Romo. And last year they were 1-11 without Romo on the field. Dak Prescott's going to start. He looked good in preseason. He has some wheels, but I don't value the preseason that high. I think Matt Barkley had 3 touchdown passes in a game this preseason, so I can't really weigh it from there. This is going to be a battle of the trenches. You have the Dallas that has arguably the best offensive line in football with the Giants, who made a ton of moves this offseason. They revamped their defensive line with Olivier Vernon and Damon Harrison. You pair him up with JPP and Jonathan Hankins. On paper, they may have a better defensive line than the Eagles. So I think it's really going to come down to who sets the standard there. Eli Manning's 35 years old. He continues to decline year after year. It's a hard pick to make with the rookie quarterback in Dak, but the Giants have lost 5 straight season openers, and 3 of the last 4 were against Dallas. So I think that streak is going to end Sunday. It'll be a semi-high-scoring game. I think the Giants pulled out 27-20.
I'm not ready to predict a score, to be honest, but I'm picking Dallas in this one. Our buddy Ray Dinger has always been high on Dak Prescott. He's had a good preseason. Dallas has a great offensive line. Ezekiel Elliott, I know they got the suspensions and injuries on defense, so I agree with Fred it's going to be a high-scoring game, but this is probably just more than a hunch of anything else. I'm picking the Cowboys in a fairly high-scoring game. Dallas has won 5 out of the last 6 against the Giants before losing the latter game last year. That, of course, was without Tony Romo. Dallas has had the advantage of late in this series, and I think they win this one on Sunday. Bill, you still with us?
I am going to go with the New York Football Giants. Here, I think the Giants are much improved. I think, as Fred said, they've improved their defense a good bit. Offensively, they have wide receiver weapons if they're healthy with Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz back. And now they've added that Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma who could flat out fly. They've been building their offensive line. Eli Manning still has a little bit going on. I'm going Giants to win that game.
And Fred took the Giants as well?
He did. He did. Score, let's say 24-14 Giants.
And I'm going 31-27 Dallas, higher scoring. 31-27 Cowboys.
Bet the over. Bet the over.
Well, what was your score, Fred?
Where did I have it at? 27-20, Giants.
27-20. All right. Okay, let's go. Another interesting game. Steelers at the Redskins. Redskins defending NFC East champs.
Yep, Steelers come into Washington, 3-point favorites against the Redskins. I just don't really believe in that NFC East. The NFC East is weak. I don't see how the Redskins can pull it out. They did improve their defense over the offseason. They signed Josh Norman, Breon Breesham from Clemson. He improved from last year. But I just don't see how the Redskins' defensive attack is going to be able to stop D'Angelo Williams, Antonio Brown, and Roethlisberger. Marcus Wheaton, Sammy Coates aren't that bad of receivers either. And I just don't see how they'll be able to stop them. The only way the Redskins will be able to put up a fight is if their offense is able to match what the Steelers are putting up. And there is a chance of that happening. I think their receivers are outstanding, from the rookie Josh Doxton, Pierre Garçon, and then DeSean Jackson, who they have speed all the way around. The running game is suspect based on last year. But, yeah, I see the Steelers in a blowout. Well, they'll be up big, and I see the Redskins coming back late. So final score 30-24 with maybe a late touchdown, garbage time touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins.
All right, so Fred says 30-24. I'm also going with the Steelers. I think Washington is for real. In fact, I think in my mind they are the favorites to repeat as NFC East champions. We can talk about that at some point. But the Steelers are favored for a reason, and I think they go into Washington and win this opener 20-16.
I'm going the other way. I'm going Redskins. I'm not sure why, because I always kind of root for the Steelers because I like Mike Tomlin. I like the job they do down there. But I think, as you mentioned, Fred, I think there's a lot of offensive firepower on the Redskins. They don't play much defense, and we'll see if they're any better with the acquisitions they made. But I'm going to call it a close, high-scoring game. I'm going Redskins 31, Steelers 28.
Wow. And there you have it,
folks. How about that? There you go.
Fred and Bob.
All right. So, hey, gentlemen, this is like hitting a moving target, but it's time to make our fearless predictions on where the Eagles will finish up this year. So we need one loss record and whether this is a playoff team. Fred, you're up.
20 seconds, Fred.
I went back and forth on this. I have 8-8 for the Eagles. I went back and forth and not a playoff team.
All right. As for me, earlier this summer, I was thinking 5-11. Then I thought, you know, Sam Bradford's healthy, and I think he's going to have a solid year. I'm going to say 8-8. Then the trade happened, and while I like Wentz, I think it's going to take a while, and there are many other question marks. So I'm back to 5 or 6 wins. If you need a number, put me down for a 6-10 Eagles season. No playoffs.
No playoffs. Well, I'm exactly on Fred. I was 8-8 in my head, based on the, you know, the 7-9 that was last year, and I think they're going to be better. I think they're going to be better. There's a chance they could be 9-7 and win the East. I do think the Giants are going to be pretty good. Well, I think they're all going to be better, except Dallas will be in question without a quarterback. But I'm going 8-8, and if they can make it to 9-7, they're going to the playoffs.
Well, I hope I'm wrong, guys.
I hope you are, too, and you have been before.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, Fred, great job, especially your first go-around. Good stuff, and we'll see you next week for more Fred and Butter time.
All right. Sounds good, guys. See you next week.
All right.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, Chad. Hey, let's get to our signing update of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. You can tell football's arrived. The Eagles' all-time leading receiver, Harold Carmichael, will be in the store this Saturday, September the 10th. Carl has added Penn State and Green Bay Packers legend and Pro Football Hall of Famer Dave Robinson to the list. Dave will be in the store on September 17th. Eagles defensive back Rodney McLeod will be in the store Saturday, September 24th. And longtime Hockey Hall of Famer, the Golden Jet, Bobby Hull, will be in the store on October the 8th. Stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles at 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA, or give Carl a call at 610-789-4996. You can also visit the website carlscards.com or contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards. And, Chad, I have to ask you, are you making it over to Carl's to visit with either Harold Carmichael or the ex-Penn State All-American Hall of Famer Dave Robinson?
Well, matter of fact, my pal Denny, the guy who likes both the Steelers and Eagles, does like Harold Carmichael, so he wants to take a ride to lovely Havertown this Saturday, and it looks like it is going to happen, yes.
Fantastic. No Dave Robinson in your future?
I'm not going to be able to make that one, unfortunately.
All right. Well, good to meet Harold Carmichael. I know he's one of your favorites. I'm sure you'll enjoy meeting him as well.
Yeah, we talked to him in June. Good guy.
Yes, sir. Hey, let's talk about next week as we head into our second 100 shows. Who we have lined up for show 101?
Well, through no fault of his own, Seth Joyner was not able to join us on show number 100, but he's going to get us started on the second 100 shows. Seth says he will be able to join us live next week. And, Bill, to make things even better, we have another legendary Eagle and one of your favorite players joining us, a guy by the name of Bill Berge. So, with that in mind, we are going to subtitle next week's show, Linebackers 101.
Wow. Well, you know how I feel about Bill Berge, as you did about Harold Carmichael being one of your very favorites. Bill Berge, no doubt, my favorite, and no one even close.
So we hope to we should have Bill Berge with us next week, and I'm looking forward to that because I know how you feel about him, and I love Seth Joyner too. So a couple of great players right there.
You bet. All right. Well, hey, good stuff as we get going in our second 100. Hey, Mr. Chesko, do you have a parting shot tonight? Because I do not.
I do. So here we go. Another Eagles football season is upon us. We've been talking about it pretty much this whole hour. And I got to say, I can't wait for this one. The strange thing is, although we're not always right, think back to 1 year ago in my case, we usually have a feel for what we're going to see from our favorite team. That is not the case this year. As much as we think we know what we have in rookie quarterback Carson Wentz, can we really truly judge a guy who played at an FCS school, missed more than half his senior year, played a mere 2.5 quarters of NFL preseason football, and that was nearly a full month ago, and was given just 1 week's notice that he's the opening day starter. I'm in the camp that says this guy ultimately will be very good, but the big question is, how long will it take him to get there, especially with an ever-changing, questionable offensive line and a wide receiver core that's almost certainly in the bottom quarter of the NFL talent-wise. Maybe he'll be very good right away. Wouldn't that be awesome? But if not, let's hope that he at least stays healthy, learns the game, develops confidence in himself and his receivers, and gives Eagles Nation lots of hope for the future.
I'm with you 100%. And, hey, Chet, one thing I did want to put in here before we run out of time is the passing of former Flyer defenseman, the Count, Bob Daly. That news just coming over the wires here right before the show started tonight.
Yeah, I think he's only 62 or 63, so sorry to see that news.
Yep, cancer again, bad thing.
And we also saw that Kerry Blanchard, the kicker, died today at age 47, believed to be a massive heart attack. He played for, I think, 6 NFL teams during his 9 seasons, made the Pro Bowl as a Colt 1 year. So Kerry Blanchard today dying at the age of 47.
I did not even know that. Okay. All right, Chet, well, we have reached the top of the hour. Let's thank our special guests, legendary Merle Reese, D. Lynam, Fred Hugo, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chet Chesko, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show number 100, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. You can listen to our Facebook page or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio and on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.
B-S-E-L-E-S Eagles!